Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and I am so excited because if it is the second Monday from 2 to 3, it must be Living the Dream Coaches. Coaches Corner, Lori and Joe Battaglia, how are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great as always.
Wonderful.
This is very good. And, of course, we have another monthly rant, Cup of Joe, at just about 5 minutes before the end of the show. So this, I always love your Cup of Joe's tough stuff.
I like them too.
You like them? and you love writing.
I do. I never thought I would say that.
And you just got back from a vacation that you really enjoyed.
Seattle. Wonderful place.
Is that the same as Seattle?
It is.
Or Seattle.
I thought he was going to say Sea Isle City because, you know, we're originally from the East Coast and they have a place like that there.
They do. Yeah.
Now, I understand you were really lucky because it was clear. When I went to Seattle a couple years back, well, actually probably 5-6 years, I couldn't see anything. It was all cloudy and I couldn't see any of the mountains. And I heard it's really beautiful.
Beautiful.
They're in a drought.
Yeah.
They're in a drought.
Oh.
And, yeah, they're not liking it too much, but clear the full week. It's going to be clear this week.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
We had a perfect view of Mount Rainier.
We did.
For 7 days.
Except for one day it disappeared into the mist.
Oh, well,
it was kind of strange. It was like the mountain was there, then the mountain was gone.
Wow.
So that's a big mountain to lose.
You sure it was the mist? Maybe it really disappeared.
I don't really know. Maybe David Copperfield was there and gone.
It could be. And I understood you had great seafood almost every day.
That was the goal.
You had chicken one day.
I did, but I do like the seafood a lot. You know, again, it's a little difficult to get it here. Not impossible, but difficult.
So here's a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have orange roughy?
No.
Darn.
No.
Did you have king crab legs?
Well, some, because we had lump crab meat, and I think there was some king crab legs in there.
Right. Lobster.
No. Dungeness crab. Shrimp.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Scallops.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, scallops are good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good stuff.
Wow. Let's have a retreat there.
And okay.
Let's get on back there, Seattle. It is sort of nice there.
Yeah, it is. It's
but you
beautiful.
Didn't go to the Big Island where you take a ferry back to the main thing.
We drove there.
No, we drove over to Port Angeles.
Oh, you
Angeles.
Did try.
We drove over to where you could... Yeah, you could get to it from the back end.
From the south end.
That's nice, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Port Angeles is in the Twilight films.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so there's apparently a Native American tribe in the Twilight films. I've not seen them. But my cousin's husband, you know, here you go. My cousin's husband was the CFO for that tribe for a few years. And that's what took them to Port Angeles.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Is he in the Twilight films?
No, not that I know of.
Wow, that is so cool.
But they did get to drumming circles and things like that, which has a tie-in eventually to our guest today.
Yeah,
so,
and it's a perfect segue. Lori, who do you have?
Okay, we have with us today Melanie Dunlap, and Mel is the owner and founder and all that of a really neat place in New River called Peaceful Spirit Enrichment Center. And we found Mel... or we were led to her, I would say, early in our journey to Arizona. We've been here almost 3 years, and she was one of the first people we met through a friend of a friend kind of thing who said, you ought to go. This is a really neat place. You'll like this place. And so we did. And we've experienced her labyrinth, and I've experienced last year's inaugural Goddess Conference, which is coming up again this year. And we'll have her talk about something that she just started recently called the Trillium Healing Project. And she's an herbalist. She's a massage therapist. She's a Reiki master. What am I leaving out, Mel?
Certified labyrinth facilitator.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And just all around cute girl.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. And they eat gluten-free there, and that's a new thing for me, so...
Oh, well, welcome to the experience.
Indeed.
We actually, in our home, do gluten and dairy-free.
Wow.
Because one of our other members is dairy-free as well.
It's actually an easy thing to do. I find that when you cut out the crackers, bread, pasta, and all those kinds of things, you tend to walk away from the cheese as well. That, in my personal experience.
Or
not.
But ice cream, you know, ice cream's got...
Oh.
So what are you going to do?
I I don't even consider ice cream as something I can walk away from yet. So,
What's the Goddess Conference? I haven't heard of
that. The Goddess Conference is a two-day event that we do up at the center in New River. And it is 9 amazing workshops. There'll be, this year, there'll be 35 women. And so for 2 days, we do empowerment workshops, learning workshops. We do ceremony. Saturday night, we have a big ceremony. And it's really about empowering women.
Wow.
And giving them a safe space to go to and be themselves.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Lori was with us as a participant last year, but she's actually going to be one of our presenters this year.
Yes, I am.
Declare your personal independence.
Indeed. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we'll help people walk through that. So.
And when will this conference be?
That is the 27th and 28th of October. And there is a website that is azgoddessconference.com. And you can see Lori's smiling face there.
Yes.
A little bit about her program.
And, is it still, you still have room for people to
actually
attend?
No, we're full.
Oh, you're full.
Yes, we're full. Yeah, it was really great. We were full by the 1st of October.
Wow, nice.
So, yeah. It really is. Our first event was last year. It was something we expanded last year. We were able to add a second acre, so we got big enough to be able to do this. And I said, oh, this is something I've wanted to do for a few years. And my husband looked at me and he said, you know, you've done this, you've wanted to do this for as long as I've known you. I'll be married to him 29 years in January.
Really?
So
you don't look you don't look old enough to be.
I got married really young. Oh. I actually really did. I got married at 19.
No. But you still look way younger than that.
So, you know, we put it together last year and it was more amazing than we could have thought of. So
that
we
is
decided
so
to do
cool.
it again.
So you have 35 again this year, or more?
We only had 27 last year, so we have to hand it to 35 this year.
Mm-hmm. And no, Dave, you can't go.
I know that was my second question. You know,
even Tom, kind of
even Tom,
the husband is
well, really?
He's away.
Don't tell him, but okay. We keep him around for anything that breaks.
Right.
So
heavy,
we need to change.
Oh,
I think you just told him.
I know
he's on line one.
Yeah.
His attorney's on line two. Oh, great! The judge is on line three. What's going on here? Wow. Now, okay, we just hung up on each one of them. Well, that's really cool. 35 lucky women. Mm-hmm. So it's instructors can't be men?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, Joe, there we go.
Yeah, you got to be, yes, a goddess. And
yes.
But hey, there's a great guy weekend open there for you guys that want to do something now.
You go.
That's a seminar, a great guy weekend?
Yeah.
That would be a good one.
Oh,
that would
be. I think so. Joe, what do you say?
I don't know.
Okay, back to you, Lori.
Yeah. So, Mel, why don't you tell us a little bit about what all goes on at Peaceful Spirit, because it is really a neat place and it's growing just in the time we've known you.
It is growing. Yeah, like I said, we were actually able to purchase the property next door. Last year, June was a year. So we doubled in size, because if you know anything about New River, one, we're country. And it's also zoned so that you have to have an acre per house. So we don't have, you know, we've got plenty of space and there's lots of horses around us. But we were talking earlier about the drumming circles. That was one of the first time that may have been there.
Yeah, we went for a drumming circle.
So we do, every month we do particular events. Every month we do a full moon labyrinth walk. We have a 38-foot labyrinth, outdoor labyrinth on our place, and we do a full moon labyrinth walk. So we come together. We've had anywhere from, our smallest one when we first started was about 4, and we've been up to 47.
Wow.
So it kind of, we're generally 20 to 25 during the week. The weekends, everybody comes out to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But those are very much about being in ceremony. We come together, we do a little reading, and then we walk the labyrinth as a group. And even when you're walking as a group, it's still a very personal experience. So you have your own time on there, your own, I call it a walking meditation. So it gives your left brain something to do because you're watching your feet and walking, and then your right brain is free to evolve and get higher messages. And so we do a little releasing ceremony when people get into the center. We have them write things and release those, and then we have affirmation stones. And yeah, so we've been at that over 4.5 years now. It'll be 5 years consecutively in February. Yeah. We've been doing that.
So. And you're living your passion, I bet, helping people.
Yes, yes. And the labyrinth was kind of what started into the bigger things, and I'm always amazed and awed at how exactly what someone needs is what they get. We have a, my husband's an artist, and so he does these affirmation stones that are in the center, and we have, I think we're up to like 32 different words or something now, and it never fails that you get the word that is particular for you that day. Mm-hmm. Whatever is going on in your life, that is what comes out.
So no such thing as accidents.
Synchronicities, I believe.
Ah, that's another way to say it.
Synchronicities.
And you guys believe in that, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You can deny it and deny it, and then pretty soon you get, you know, if it happens 50 times in a row, it's not coincidence anymore.
And most people do. They don't you think they live in denial?
Sure.
Yeah.
Most people?
Yeah.
I think we all do at some point.
Of course.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool.
So, Joe, you walk the labyrinth already. So what's the experience? You're very introverted. I'm very extroverted. So what's the experience been like for you?
Well, it really is. It's a meditation, prayer, if you please. I mean, really, that's really what it's all about. And you always come away with that sense of peace, that sense of I don't know.
Calm.
It's peace. It's calm. It's mm-hmm. peace. It's what you come away with when you're in prayer. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It really is.
And it's really, especially in a labyrinth, it's really connecting with the earth and with the earth mm-hmm. energies. And ours is right there on the ground, and we've got sand on it, so you can even walk on it barefoot. We've got lots of friends that play instruments, and so we generally have somebody who's playing a flute live, and then we always have s'mores afterwards, which apparently
that's
the big draw.
With the biggest marshmallows I've ever seen in my life.
Really? Where
did you
get these?
Dave? They make these huge marshmallows that are cracker s'more size.
Really?
I've never seen anything like it. Yeah.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. I always thought that people came for the labyrinth, but sometimes I wonder if it's not the s'mores. Yeah, you say s'mores and their eyes light up. Yeah. So.
Wow.
S'mores over an open campfire. You can't beat it.
Yeah.
So would you say this is what most people need? I mean, you look at the world, such a fast pace. It's immediate gratification, greed, power, corruption. Seems to be everywhere. What is it going to take for people just to go inward more? And that's what it sounds like at your facility there.
Yeah.
I think what it's going to take is realizing that we're worthy, and that by doing self-care, we can actually do more help for others. You know, there's a reason that they say if you're on an airplane and the oxygen masks come down, put yours on first and then pick which child you like the best. And but if you're not feeding yourself, you can't help others. And I think that's part of what is the draw for the labyrinth, is it's something that you can go, you can feed yourself, mm-hmm. you can be in that space and place, but you don't have to go far away. You know, we're just mm-hmm. a little bit, we're right outside of the city, so you get that feel. We all know, everyone I've ever talked to says, well, you know, when I go to nature, I feel, and whatever it is they need fits in that sentence. So I think it has a lot to do with that. But yeah, I think it's about realizing that we're worthy of the self-care.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a difference between people. I mean, I like that example. I always see it on Southwest, put your oxygen mask on first.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. But I think there's a difference between if someone's self-centered versus feeding themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people that are self-centered are more concerned with their life. Feeding yourself is more concerned with others by improving you.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think that's really important, guys. What would you
Absolutely.
Say about
sure.
that?
Self-centeredness has to do with me and no one else. And whereas feeding yourself in this respect has to do with feed yourself so that you can feed others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, some of, and I work a lot with women, so I know primarily with women, oftentimes we're so afraid that self-care is going to lead us to self-centered.
Yes.
You know, we've kind of been taught that. Oh, if you do something for yourself, you know,
it's
that's
bad.
Not going to look good. I'm a good Southern girl. You know, we weren't supposed to be seen, heard, you know, you never let anything out. And I think sometimes we don't take as good a care of ourselves because we're afraid of that. You know, if we take a day off, heaven forbid we take a day off, mm-hmm. and we do something for ourselves, well, someone might see that and think I'm not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I tell some of my clients, sometimes you need to be selfish in order to be selfless.
Yeah.
Because you've got to take care of yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, Joe, have you noticed that with that message keeps coming up around us lately in the past week or so? Even the oxygen mask analogy, because Joe and I don't tend to do a lot of self-care, and that's what this vacation was about. Well, that and our 10th wedding anniversary.
That's true. That's
so,
way to get started.
Yeah, yeah.
we have not been. This is 3 years.
About three years. Yeah,
3 years
since we've taken a vacation. Yeah.
Wow.
So that it's and it catches up to you. You
yeah.
Know, you don't realize it, and all of a sudden you're going, I'm out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to stop.
Yeah.
You have to stop.
Well, let me ask you this, because this has always intrigued me from a neurolinguistic programming standpoint. Do you have to take a vacation out of town to take a vacation, or can every day somehow at some point or the whole time be a vacation because you love your work so much?
I believe completely that we have it within ourselves. That's part of the labyrinth. We can take that time out. It doesn't have to be a week away.
Doesn't have to be Hawaii.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Although I do like your Seattle trip.
Yeah.
I want to do that because that was good. But it's always good to do that too. But I mean, just for people out there where they're stressing. And I'm not, obviously, Joe and Lori, that you guys, I know you guys, you don't stress really. You're
oh,
great.
Oh, Lord.
No, you not really. I mean, you're the exception. But the average person out there, they seem to live for the vacation, the time they can get out of one place into another versus sort of reconciling the two and say, wait, any time I could take a vacation by meditating or whatever, praying or whatever.
And I love it. Joe and Lori actually hit it on the head. What Joe said was, "Oh, we just breathed. We just you know, we got."
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes for you to have a vacation here and right now and in this moment. A good deep breath down into the belly, because most of us don't know how to breathe. We stay so keyed up and so stressed out that we're breathing just to our diaphragm. Our lungs go all the way down, mm-hmm. and so we start breathing more shallow and shallower. We're not getting enough oxygen. Now we feel tired, so that adds to everything. It also has a very physical effect in that matter is heavier on the bottom, so we don't clear out our lungs as well.
Mm, that's interesting. That is. Mm-hmm. But I was always curious about that, because it's almost like there's two lives going on. It's almost like, well, I got to work, and you listen to people's language patterns, and they say, I have to versus I choose, and things like that. But it just seems like people are just getting through, and versus really enjoying. Well, it's the same old thing, you know. Are you enjoying the journey, not just when you're on vacation or when things are easy, but are you truly enjoying the journey at every single moment?
And being present and gratitude. You know, we go off on vacation, we're like really grateful for all the stuff we see, and this is wonderful, and you know, we're getting new experiences, but we have that in our everyday life too.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up in the morning and I lay there and I think, okay, what am I grateful for today? How's this going to go? Works really good until I get out in traffic, but you know, being in New River, I don't have to do that every single day. But it comes back to that space, and when we go on vacation, we become grateful and we're happy that we're there and all of that kind of stuff. Even amidst our regular lives and the stresses that those are, we can find that place. We can, with simple breath, meditation tends to freak people out. When we say meditation, they think, oh my gosh, I have to sit in the lotus position. I have to put my two fingers together and I have to go into this transcendental meditation.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was why I started the labyrinth. You know, I've been an herbalist for over 15 years and doing all this holistic stuff. I could not sit still. I'm an Aries type A personality. I couldn't sit still. And plus my knee hurt, but so when I came across the labyrinth, I was like, oh, this is great. I can meditate, but I'm still doing something. And so that gives me that place and it allows me to work with that energy and be moving. So we miss the opportunities for meditation. You know, sitting and stroking our cat or our dog, that's meditation. Talking to someone that you love, that can be a form of meditation. As long as you're having a conversation and not an argument. But we miss what are little meditations.
Yeah.
You know, when you kind of even just one of my favorite things is to people watch, you know, to sit somewhere and watch people and just really see that everybody's kind of on their own journey.
Yeah.
So I think we've made meditation be so, such a big word that people are scared of it. And it doesn't have to be that way. It can be very simple.
I can just, because I came from this place, you know, there's got to be somebody out there who's listening. He says, yeah, but you just don't understand my situation. Well, actually, I do, because it's a choice. You choose to live that way. You choose to look at your life in those terms. You don't have to. There is an alternative to looking at life in a different way, and that's really all it takes.
Yes.
That's really all it takes.
Well, and we think that we sit in a, there's bad things or what we perceive as bad things going on around us, and then we just think of those, and then we can't think of how to get ourselves out of
that's
it.
That's right.
And yet we forget that we can be in a good place, and we're thinking about that being a good place. We can switch out of that just so quickly.
Yes.
You can be having a great day, and something happened, and your day is totally shot. It works in reverse.
Yeah.
You can be having that really horrible day, and your life can be really horrible. But in the blink of an eye, you can choose to change what you're telling yourself and how you're feeling.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a CPA firm, pretty large one, in Century City, California. And we had about 30 people working for us. And I noticed, well, if you've met CPAs typically, well, there's an interesting breed because, you know, very, well, I shouldn't say too much, but they're, let's say conservative, sort of narrow-minded. They're focused on what they want to focus on. And they, their identity seems to be one of, you know, they do accounting and tax, and that's their identity. Anything outside that is very uncomfortable, and that's usually the case for most people anyway. But I said, you know, customer service is very important, no matter if you're a CPA, attorney, engineer, whatever, and you're relating to people is very important. So there were some issues as we grew relating to people at the lower end entry level. And I said, can you, so I called every staff person and I said, can you make someone fly into a rage? And they go, of course, that's easy. They said, all I have to say is, you know, bad stuff and insult them. And they were all excited. They were saying, yeah, we could do that. I go, yeah, and actually you do do that. But and then I said, can you make someone fly into a calm? And they couldn't register.
Didn't understand the words, did they?
Yeah. or into a peace or into joy. And the truth is it's the same. It's just the opposite end. What you focus on, what you believe is possible, and how you can actually help people every day by overtly or covertly, you know, helping people through your own demonstration and how you live life.
And we forget how much an effect we have on other people. I use a kinesiology show and tell, I guess you could say, and you can take a room full of people. You can have someone who's plenty strong, and if you have that room full of people, all think about something that is uncomfortable and unhappy for them, the person standing there will be weakened. And then if you turn that whole room around to think about something positive, something they're real happy about, that person will regain their strength. So we forget that as we're going out in the world every day. It's not, we're not here by ourselves. We are not an island.
No.
So that energy and that thought pattern that we take out into the world affects everyone around us. And then when we're in a cranky mood, we wonder why everybody around us is in a cranky mood too.
Well,
it works the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's take a quick break right now. This has been fascinating. Look, the time has just flown by already because this is a great topic. And, of course, this is Coach's Corner starring Laurie and Joe Battaglia with special in-studio guest Melanie Dunlap. And we'll be right back. One of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more. Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Coach's Corner every second Monday of the month from 2 to 3, starring Lori and Joe Battaglia. And Lori and Joe, you really brought in a fantastic guest today.
Well,
I'm enjoying it. Melanie Dunlap from Peaceful Spirit Enrichment Center. And Lori, you got some more interesting things we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we were talking on the break about how we should probably describe what a labyrinth is for those who have never seen one or walked one. So, Mel, how do you describe a labyrinth?
I describe a labyrinth as, think of a maze with no dead ends and wrong turns. Mm. There is one path that leads you in, and that goes to the center, and then that same path brings you back out again.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no dead ends, no wrong turns, and there's really no thinking necessary except to decide to walk the labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
There are different patterns. There are all different patterns. They've been found all over the world. Scottsdale, I know you guys live in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
You know they're all over the Scottsdale area. The man in the maze, you see it on the side of the freeway.
Really?
Yeah. The little man standing at the top. Yeah, that's a Native American one. So they're all over Scottsdale. It's one of the things I thought was really cool is you could go over there, and I think about how many people pass that and don't even
exactly.
know where it is.
Exactly.
So it's a rich history in many cultures. Native Americans, you say, have these labyrinths.
Just about all cultures have some sort of labyrinth. There's a woman by the name of Lauren Artress at Veritas in California, which is where I went and trained. And she has been credited with the modern labyrinth movement because it used to be used all over. There's a Chartres labyrinth, and that's a particular design, and that's actually in a cathedral in Chartres, France, and was put in the floor in 1201.
Wow.
So the only days you can walk it now is on Fridays because they have chairs sitting all over it.
What a shame.
So it's been used, yeah. I mean, they've been on the coast. They were used on the coastlines. They would be used to protect fishermen. You know, you would walk a labyrinth because you would walk in and then you would walk out safely. Mm-hmm. And so that represented the journey, the safe return of the fishermen and different things like that. So, yeah, it's been used across so many cultures, Greece, mm-hmm. all over.
Yeah, I've even done them inside. Back at the church we attended in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
They laid one out on the floor in the basement because I'm used to the ones outdoors like yours.
Presbyterian.
Where it was stones, you know, and it's the stones define the pathway. But this was on a big, almost like sheet, on a big piece of cloth where it was sort of painted on.
Mm-hmm.
And they had stations where you stopped and did things.
Right.
I like the one at your place because it is mindless in a good way. You know, you get on it and you go and you do pass people, but, you know, and some people will stop and give a hug and some people will just keep on going. And you always remind us just to kind of read whether that person's on their own, doing their own thing, or whether they're open to that. So it's been an interesting experience and different every time I've done it, just depending on where I'm at the time.
Well, and I used to, when I first started doing labyrinths, I would say, you know, you can't get lost.
Yeah.
It's one path going in and one path going out. And so I would say, you know, you can't get lost. It's very easy. Don't worry about it. And I'd been doing it for a couple of years, and I actually watched someone get lost. And what happened was, you know, you step aside to pass, like you say, and you forget where you were. And I watched this woman, and it broke my heart because I could see she was really struggling, and she didn't know which way to go, and all that. And it was all I could do. I knew better as a facilitator, not to step in her journey, but I was just breaking my heart. And I watched her, and she finally found her way back to the center. And of course, that was a moment of joy for her,
yes.
You know, because she had found her way. And then she came out, and I was sitting talking with her later. And that is exactly how she felt in her life.
Yeah.
She was feeling lost. She couldn't find her center. She couldn't find her way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, being on the labyrinth and having that experience and then finding the center and knowing that it was always there, it was always there. And she was going right by it.
Yeah.
And that's the other, the gift that the labyrinth gives you is you see that your center or whatever you're attaining, you go by it a lot.
Yeah.
And you see it from all different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you think you're headed right straight for it, you take a turn and you start heading away from it. But if you'll stay going that direction long enough, you'll take another turn and head back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just keep pursuing, you'll find your center.
Nice.
So persistence, perseverance, those type of qualities.
Acceptance.
Mm-hmm. And acceptance, yes.
Acceptance of this is where I am. I'll get to where I'm going.
So, and enjoy the journey.
Enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm. So, Mel, at the end, we always give the you know, where to find you and everything. But if somebody's listening and they're curious right now and they want to look at your site for a labyrinth, what's your website so that people can find it?
It's peacefulspiritcenter.com.
Okay.
And that is our labyrinth. And another place I'd like, because there are labyrinths, there are actually labyrinths all over the valley.
Yes.
We're quite blessed. But there are labyrinths all over the world. So there is a worldwide labyrinth locator. So you can go online and you can just look up the Worldwide Labyrinth Locator and you can find a labyrinth anywhere you are. We have had people visit us from Canada that just went online and found us. We've had people just, you know, stop by they were doing a tour.
Uh-huh.
And so they stopped by and found our labyrinth. So wherever you are, if it's calling to you, you can find one.
I just looked at Joe and said, we need to do that. That's pretty cool. So the other thing that always fascinates me when I'm up at Peaceful Spirit is the herbs and the whole way you can find everything out there in the desert. And I know you came from the hills of North Carolina where the plants were a bit different. So tell us a little bit about that story.
Well, herbs were my first love and are still my biggest primary love. I trained in the western Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina. And the Appalachian Mountains are second only to the rainforest in the number of medicinal plants that are usable. And so I actually did, mine was very much a wise woman training. And so I was like 20 miles up in the hills, you know, at my mentor's home and in her gardens and all of that. And it was really wonderful. And I could go out in my yard and pick whatever I wanted to eat or heal or whatever. And so then we landed in Arizona. And I went, oh, crap, there's no plants here.
Yeah.
And so I you know, I took a little time trying to get my bearings. And then it dawned on me that the native people from here had to have the same health issues that they did back east.
Yeah.
So there had to be the plants. They had to be. We had to have the healers here. So I got out and I really started learning about different plants in the desert. And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
We have all of the same kind of healing abilities here. You just have to be a whole lot more determined to get them. You know, because some of, like the ocotillo, it's good for healing. But what we use is the inner bark.
Mm.
So the next time you're standing next to an ocotillo, really go up to it and touch one of those canes and think about what it would take to pull that off, strip it open, and get out what's inside.
Wow.
So, that's exactly. And that's the thing, and that's what I love about plants and the healing properties that they have is it makes you be with them. Mm-hmm. You have to be present. It's not, okay, I take this pill at 2 and 4.
Yeah.
It's, I'm going to make myself a cup of tea, or I'm going to take a tincture that's going to make my eyes kind of blink really funny. It makes you be very present with that healing. And I think that's why we're so overrun with a lot of these chronic illnesses. And we have so many illnesses that have a name because they don't know what else to call it. Fibromyalgia is one. You know, if you don't have any of these other things and you have this many of these symptoms, then we call it fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. We're so disconnected. We're disconnected from our healing.
Mm-hmm.
We're disconnected from our bodies.
Yeah.
And so we have all of these things. And I think when we get back to the plants and to doing those sorts of things, like we were talking about breathing. You know, people don't even think about breathing. I have clients and I tell them, okay, I want you to learn to deep breathe. They're uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So many people are uncomfortable.
But very effective, yes. Those breathing techniques. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, you're mentioning we're disconnected. I think part of it is the media. What gets me the last, maybe 5-6 years, you see the pharmaceutical companies advertising drugs. Before then, you never saw that.
No.
Right. You know, and it's really so, hey, go to your doctor and ask about this. But then they start reading off about, however, if you do this, it might kill you. If you do that, it's like, how is that even possible? They could be advertising this stuff for, you know, X amount of people, but X amount of people could die from it, too. It's like,
yeah,
it just strikes me as, like, really weird.
It is. Well, we're dealing with some heavy-duty chemical stuff, too. And we've become an impatient society. You know,
yes,
we want... I did the same thing. I was having stomach pains, and I went to the doctor, and this has been many years ago when I went to the doctor, and I said, okay, you know, this is what's going on, thinking he's going to write me a prescription. And my next trip is over to a surgeon, and they're wanting to take my appendix out. And,
wow. You
know, I'm like, no, 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 no. That was a lot of years ago, and then later found out that it was a gluten intolerance.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really? You know,
but no doctor ever really said, okay, this is what's going on. Let's see. You know, they didn't ask me when this came on, any of that kind of stuff. They said, this is what's going on now. You know, and I had some of the classic symptoms, but I never elevated a white count.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And, you know, when people come to me, sadly, what they say is, you know, I've tried everything.
Yeah.
I've tried everything. So now I'm going to come to the gentlest healing, which are the plants or the natural things, and I'm going to try that. And when it doesn't work the first time, they go, well, that doesn't work. Well, we do get acute things that happen. Western medicine is awesome for that.
Yeah.
If I'm going to break a bone, I'm going to have some emergency. I don't want to be anywhere else. I want to be right here.
Yeah.
But when I have those things that are constant, that it's a chronic condition, something like that, that's how it has to be healed.
Right.
If you're going to get true healing, you have to work with that. You're not going to come in and I'm going to say, well, here's a tea. Go home and have 3 cups of this and you'll be good to go tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's not the way the plants work.
And beliefs have a big impact.
Absolutely.
On this. And they keep proving that. I don't know why certain people will deny it, but, you know, the placebo effect, I mean, it's well documented, mm-hmm. right? And
yes.
Just amazing to me. Why don't we take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our very, very interesting discussion. This is Coach's Corner, starring Joe and Lori Battaglia. We have special in-studio guest Melanie Dunlap. We'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
At Beerham Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Coach's Corner, starring Lori and Joel Battaglia. Special in-studio guest Melanie Dunlap from Peaceful Spirit Enrichment Center. We've had just a great conversation so far. Lori?
Yeah.
Now we're going to even have more of a great conversation.
Yes, we are. Because one of the things I wanted Mel to talk about while she was here was her new nonprofit, the Trillium Healing Project. And I just find this fascinating. And I know, Joe, do you want to ask her the question you were fascinated by when you heard the story of how it evolved?
I don't know if we should do it now or after people know what Trillium is, but this is an undertaking. This is a flat-out undertaking. I know it is. If you're human, you're going to be... You know, these things are going to sit on your shoulder and they're going to say, you can't do that. And I wanted to ask Mel how she, how she took hold of those gremlins, those things that told her, no, you can't do this. And how did you overcome them?
I haven't overcome them. I deal with them every day.
Bite them to lunch.
That's right. Because when you take on anything, and especially when it feeds your soul so much, mm-hmm. The gremlins come out.
Yeah.
We all have them. Yeah. Our brains all talk and say things we don't want to hear. We say, okay, that's nice. I'm going to do it anyway, which has kind of been my thing all my life. It's like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. I honestly haven't dealt with them, but the joy that comes from doing it far outweighs anything that they can say to me.
And keeps you going.
It does. Mm-hmm. Absolutely keeps me going. Mm-hmm. And I honestly did not set out to start a nonprofit. That was not my intention at all.
Uh-huh. So tell us that story about it.
I had had a Reiki session. I get regular Reiki sessions. And I was driving home from a Reiki session. And I always pay attention to those things that pop into my head that I'm not thinking about. And so I heard quite distinctly in my head, Trillium Healing Project.
Hmm.
I'm like, okay, I understand the words, because Trillium is a three-petaled flower. It's a genus of flowers, so it's a three-petaled flower. So I immediately understood that, okay, healing of mind, body, and spirit. I get that. But what am I supposed to do with this? And so when no answer was forthcoming, I actually went home and wrote it down, because I thought, you know, this is something I need to write down. So I wrote it on a whiteboard. And a couple months later, I was having lunch with a friend of mine, and she's an entrepreneur as well. And so we were lamenting our woes of entrepreneurship, right? You know,
yeah.
I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time, all of these kind of things. And we were sitting there talking, and I said to her, I said, you know, I just keep thinking, wouldn't it be so cool to have a nonprofit that provided holistic therapies to women? and they could get them, and they would have all this. And I started going on and on, and I was doing my thing. And she looked at me, and she said, "I've never seen you so animated."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "You got to be kidding me. You know me well enough. I am never not animated." And she said, "No, really." She said, "Well, where is this nonprofit?" I said, "Well, I don't know of anything like it." She said, "Well, why don't you do it?" I said, "Yeah, okay, sure." So I'm driving home, and it hit me. That's what Trillium Healing Project was. So I'm driving home, and by the time I got home, I am just bouncing off the walls. And I'm telling my husband and all this kind of stuff, and he looked at me, and he said, "Well, isn't that kind of what you're already doing?" I'm like, "Yeah, but I can do so much more." And love him. He knows me. He's been married to me a long time. He kind of damped me down a little bit, which was great, because then I had to go off and think about it. And so what I did is I got a hold of all of my friends, and I said, "I want to help more women. I only have two hands. I only have one space, but I want to help a lot more women." So what we've done is we've put together a network of practitioners of all sorts of holistic therapies. We have Reiki. We have massage. We have coaching. We have reflexology. You name it, we pretty much have it. And the idea is that we have practitioners in all of these different modalities all over the valley. And what we do is we actually provide the holistic therapies for women that have breast cancer, fibromyalgia, or depression. Because we know that these affect so many women. And we've seen science, there's scientific studies that tell us that if we put holistic therapies with any kind of breast cancer treatment, the women get better.
Mm-hmm.
And fibromyalgia and depression, while I have the utmost respect for Western medicine, they don't have a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. And we have so many women suffering from this. And they're diseases that we can cure. Fibromyalgia doesn't need to exist.
Mm-hmm.
It does not. We can get rid of this. So I started talking to my practitioners, and I also know that people that do the things that they love oftentimes are lamenting those woes about not having enough. And I knew, because of the quality of people that I have involved in this, that if I went to them and said, "I want to do this, will you do it?" they would do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
But they also wouldn't have enough money to take care of their own families. So it was important to me that we paid the practitioners, that they see the value in what they do, and that they're able to go out and do more. So we pay a flat rate, it's not very much, to our practitioners. So the practitioners in our program are there for love as well. But the woman pays no out-of-pocket expense. We pay for those therapies for her to go. And so it's so important to me that it's about re-empowering the women.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in a chronic illness and things like that, you're told what's your next appointment, where you're going to go, what your treatment's going to be, this is what happens next, and all of that. And if you're lucky, that's 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But so I actually sit down with a woman and say, "How do you want to proceed? What do you want to do?" You know, and some of them will say, "You know, I have a friend who's had massage and they've done really well with it, and that's what I want to do." Or someone who said, "You know, I have a woman who's got breast cancer," and she said, "I have a lot of anger. I need to get rid of that."
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able to take those women, and it's a series of 9 appointments. And so we're actually able to get them the holistic therapies that they want in conjunction with their medical, their Western medical. We don't ask them to stop that because the two work well together. It's about collaboration.
Mm.
It's not about we're better than them or they're better than us. It's about how do we get through this together and make more people better.
So how do you fund the non-profit?
Well, grassroots funding. So we're always looking for more donations. We have a website. It is the TrilliumHealingProject.org. And Trillium spelled T-R-I-L-L-I-U-M. And we actually have a fundraiser going on this weekend where we have a team that is hiking down and back out of the Grand Canyon in one day.
Brave souls.
Yes, yes. And much braver than I. And then we also have crew members. So we have promised the hikers when they get to the top that they will get massages and they will get foot soaks and we're cooking them dinner. But they've all stepped up and said, "I will raise money for you." So the hikers all have to raise money and the crew members all have to raise money. So you can go online, you can donate. There's still some of our hikers that are still a little short of their goal. But we're planning other fundraisers. In fact, we're planning a 24-hour labyrinth walk.
Oh, wow.
In February. Whoa,
really?
To raise money. So
that
people will
cool.
come out, you know, kind of like the relays.
Yeah.
And so you'll sign up for a certain time, and you'll actually be walking the labyrinth and holding that space. So
nice.
That'll be
nice.
Our next one. So.
Very good.
Wow. And how long has this been in existence?
We have just been up and running since February.
Wow.
And we have already affected the lives of three women going through our program. So.
Wow,
that's very cool.
Very nice.
So I have one more path to take you down, Mel. I've watched you grow this business in the 3 years we've been here from what I'll say is a, and I don't mean any disrespect because we too are healers, Joe and I, we are both Reiki masters. And so we have a lot of friends in the holistic business, and a lot of times holistic folks don't always view themselves as an entrepreneur. There's something dirty about the making money part that goes along with the holistic mm-hmm. business. And I've watched you sort of grab your business and say, you know what, I am a businesswoman and I need to really run with this. And you're involved in NABO and some of those other groups. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for women entrepreneurs that, or men entrepreneurs for that matter of fact, that are thinking about it and maybe can't get out of their own way? And I don't know, anything you've learned that you want to pass on?
It has to be a passion. It absolutely has to be a passion. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you have to love what it is.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of work. There are many nights, you know, that you're pounding your head and the gremlins are after you and all of that kind of stuff. So I really think that's been the biggest thing for me. Once I just said, okay, this is my passion. Because people all the time, you know, because you and I, we do some stuff together and you go to these things and they say, well, you know, if you won the lottery, what would you do?
Yeah.
If I won the lottery, what I would do is exactly what I'm doing on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
And I think that really is what makes the difference in an entrepreneur that makes a bigger impact.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can, you know, you can still be an entrepreneur and you can work programs and do it and get it done. But I think for it to really be something that makes you happy and fulfills you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, we get into entrepreneurship because that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make a difference. We want to do something that fills us. So right there, we're on our own side. And yeah, it's just money.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Exactly.
Well, there's a lot of interesting beliefs about money. And I agree with you. Passion is key. And although, unfortunately, sometimes you see a lot of people with passion, but they get stuck because of limiting beliefs. Like, well, this is what I want to do, but maybe I got to do something else to make money. And they don't seem to coordinate the two. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you go with your passion first and you're organized and you sort of think it through, whether it's with intuition checked by practical advice, because as a CPA for 30 years, the best business people that I've worked with, I've always asked them, the question is, how do you make decisions and how did you become so successful? They go, it's usually intuition first, checked by some basic business models.
And I think a good mentor.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I've been blessed with so many wonderful mentors. NABO, the National Association of Women Business Owners, that's a great program. I work with Linda Bishop of Summit Alliance Solutions. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been so blessed to have those kind of women walk into my life when I needed them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think being open, we forget what mentors are. So it's not just, oh, I go and take this business class.
Yeah.
Right.
And find what you don't like and get rid of it.
Yeah,
that's another good piece of information.
If it's bookkeeping or if it's, you know, for me, it's marketing. It's just not my passion.
You're saying delegate.
Yes.
No, that might be one of the biggest errors that entrepreneurs make. They think maybe because they don't have resources, and they do, but they don't realize they do. And they try to do everything, or it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be, well, that's a tough one. Let's put it that
way. It is a tough one. Yeah.
Very tough.
Yeah. You said something interesting when we were on break, Dave, about about giving people a lot of information and then they only take up on what they believe in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I got into neurolinguistic programming as a CPA in the late 80s, where I'd give great information, sophisticated information, advanced information to these people, you know, potential clients or current clients. And a lot of them just didn't take it. And I soon realized that they only go up to their self-imposed limitations. They go up to their beliefs and what is possible for them. And information's not the key. It's to be able to raise their consciousness to work above their self-imposed limitations, to get rid of these limiting beliefs and transform them to empowering beliefs. And that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also, as mentors, have to remember that not everybody's going to take all of our advice.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're just there to give it to them now. Just because they don't use it now doesn't mean it doesn't come around
appropriate. Yeah, that's true. And that at Kick with NLP is that sometimes you can accelerate it without forcing it. So I just thought it was very interesting. NLP is really cool.
Yeah.
We should do a whole topic on
we
NLP
should.
One day.
We should. We'll interview you.
Yes, there we go. Now, Joe, let's do your monthly rant, and we'll go back to Melody and get contact information. But your monthly rant,
my monthly
cup of Joe, what do we got?
Well, we were in Seattle, and I came across a story, and it's called The Paper Bag. I recently was told a real life story about a friend whose father had passed away. The story impressed me because it contained lessons about life, relationships, career, and all the stuff across the board of living. His dad was an educated and, shall we say, an enlightened man. As he got into retirement, he systematically began to reduce the amount of stuff, and you can read that as excess baggage, he had accumulated in his life. It came time for my friend to go to his father's assisted living facility to retrieve his last possessions after the funeral. He walked away with a single paper bag of his father's most cherished possessions, and he realized that in all those final years, his father had been working his way down to that last paper bag. When I heard this story, I had one of those, it just stopped me in my tracks moments. What a wonderful, loving, kind, intelligent, and efficient way not only to pass the torch on to his son, but also to teach his son a way to live his life. The things that we accumulate in life, the cars, the houses, the bright shiny things, are probably the least important pieces of life. The guy who has the most toys when he dies wins is a cruel deception. It's what we do with those possessions that is important. It's better to give them away and to help somebody else than to hoard them in a big pile of self-gratification. Relationships are important to us and the ones we love when the giving and the taking are equal. Drop the relationships that drag you down. Cherish the ones that build you up. Beware of the vampires who are all about taking for themselves and giving back nothing. When you have nothing else to give, they will walk away and look for someone else to feed on. What the father did leave his son was the love and the memories of a life well lived. If the son remembers the lesson, he will pass this on to whoever he is closest to. This is one way to achieve a sense of immortality and to live a legacy to be proud of. When you walk through a pristine forest, leave nothing behind, take only memories. Work yourself down to that final paper bag. What will be your legacy to pass on?
That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm. It struck me like a ton of bricks when you said that little story. Because how many times have we're left with all these things that your parents had accumulated?
Yeah.
There's what nothing
good
there.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What good is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see, Melanie. How do people get in touch with you? Give us some contact information.
You can check out the website. It's peacefulspiritcenter.com. There's a contact us page on there. It's my email is melanie@peacefulspiritcenter.com. And of course, you can always check out the Trillium Healing Project, which is trilliumhealingproject.org.
Well, Melanie, thank you so much. This has been enlightening. That's a great word, isn't it? Joe and Lori, how do they get in touch with you?
Okay, well, you can find our website at livingthedreamcoaches.com, and you can also reach us at our 800 number, which is 888-505-5762, and one of us will pick up the phone.
No doubt.
Well, this has been it's these topics that really make a difference. We have various shows, obviously, and they're all good, of course. And yet the underlying issue, I think, in today's society is how can you live a more peaceful life, a more fulfilling life. And yes. And this is a great topic. We're going to have to do this again. Thank you, Melanie, so
thank
much.
Thank you for having me.
And Joe and Lori, we'll see you next month. Stay tuned right at 3 o'clock for Understanding Autism. Another great show coming right up.